it's time for your SportsEdge.com sideline report with Todd Griffin. Talking sports and more here on 1580 103.3 WPKY and worldwide at WPKYonline.com. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
Good morning, everyone. The Sideline Report is on the air from 1035 West Main Street in Princeton. Thanks a lot for tuning in this morning. Got a full studio ready to go with a big show today. Caldwell County softball coaches Seth Butts and Tyler Bashir in the studio with us. Also, another surprise guest. We're going to wait just a minute before you tell you who that is. But Seth, big thing coming up for you guys this Saturday at the ballpark. We're going to honor the 1998 state runner-up squad. And it's difficult to believe it's been 25 years, but it'll be nice to see everybody back at the ballpark.
Yeah, you know, that was a pretty special team, and that was one of my early interests in being able to see what fast pitch was about. You know, I was dating at the time my girlfriend, current wife, and her sister was on the team. So, you know, being a former baseball player, I was like, hey, let's go check this out. And you know, it was pretty interesting to watch. You got to catch in a few, you know, a few games and, you know, seeing how fast the game was. And, you know, it was pretty interesting. And, you know, they had a whole lot of good athletes on
yes.
the team.
Tyler, what's the plans for this Saturday?
Well, we're going to have all the ladies come in around 11:30, have a little reception before the game, let them, you know, kind of visit with each other. Our game starts at 1, so we're going to try to get to announce the recognize the players right before the game, and then let them just kind of visit and watch the game and enjoy themselves.
All right, appreciate you guys coming in to talk about it this morning. And we've also got former Lady Tiger coach Donnie Scott in the studio with us. And, Donnie, thanks for coming in. What do you remember about the 98 squad?
Well, we had a bunch of good athletes on that team. They played together, you know, from like 8 years old all the way up
yeah.
to high school. And we was fortunate enough to keep them all together. And, you know, we went to some camps and stuff up through the years, you know, doing that, 4 or 5 of them would go, you know, which helped out. But they all enjoyed playing softball. They enjoyed being together. And, you know, we just had a great time.
Yeah.
It was a good group of girls.
So we're going to talk some softball on the show today. Stay with us. We'll come back right after this timeout here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
At Johnson's Furniture and Appliances in Marion, Kentucky, you're treated like family. Because to them, family is everything. Johnson's has the reputation of helping customers with brands you can count on, like GE Appliances. Shop their selection of GE Appliances with premium finishes and features that make household chores easier, giving you time to do what matters. Bring home the long-lasting quality of GE Appliances today. Trust Johnson's for furniture, bedding, and appliances. Because you're like family, and family is everything.
This is Kevin Meacham at H&R Agri-Fire. Need a new tractor, zero-turn mower, utility vehicle? Try it and buy it at the Kubota Field Event Saturday, April 15th at H&R Agri-Fire at one of our biggest sales events of the year. Demo subcompact, compact, utility tractors, and more. Ask about competitive financing offer. Get a coupon for up to $250 and enter for a chance to win an Orca Cooler. Don't miss our Kubota Field Event Saturday, April 15th, 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. at H&R Agri-Fire, 4900 Eagle Way in Hopkinsville.
Come by the Joint in Eddyville for mouth-watering smoked meats and flavorful sides, now with a brand new look. They've remodeled the interior to give you an even better experience and can't wait for you to see it. Stop by Tuesday through Sunday and enjoy the same great food and service you have grown accustomed to. Find the Joint online for more information and to book their catering services. The Joint is the perfect spot for a quick lunch or a fun night out. Come see for yourself. They can't wait to serve you.
Hey folks, this is Rodney Humes at Humes Jewelers. Want to invite you out to our new ear piercing studio. At Humes Jewelers, we've started piercing ears again like we have for over 30 years. We have a really cute new studio set up. You can't miss it when you walk in the store. It's the first thing you see to your right, and you will miss all the teddy bears. So if you want to have your ears pierced for the first time, or if you're getting your second holes done, we've got all kinds of earrings to pick from. We have been 14 karat gold, surgical steel, and surgical steel that have been gold plated. These are all by the Inverness piercing system, pre-sterilized, so it should be a lot of fun. Kids love it. We have teddy bears everywhere. There's even a teddy bear named Ruby that the kids can hold and hug while they're getting their ears pierced. We've got mirrors. You can take pictures. It's like a family event. So we invite you out to Humes Jewelers. And if you want to call ahead, make sure someone's going to be here. But we're piercing most afternoons and on Saturday at Humes Jewelers on the Boulevard in Hopkinsville.
Hi, Rachel Chandler with Farmers Bank. Did you know your money can make more money when you level up to an interest-bearing checking account?
Grow your balance at Farmers Bank with our unique Plus checking account featuring a 2.5% annual percentage yield on balances up to $15,000.
Unique Plus is a win-win local banking option. Call or visit us today and let our expert bankers show you how to get the most out of your deposits. Farmers Bank. Live unique. Bank unique. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
Good morning. This is the Sideline Report here on 1580 103.3 WPKY. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. Once again, we've got Lady Tigers softball coaches Seth Butts and Tyler Bashir in the studio with us. Former coach Donnie Scott also with us. The 1998 Lady Tigers softball team will be honored this Saturday at the ballpark. And Seth, I think when you think back to that 1998 team, you have to think about Coach Al Giordano and what he did to kind of get fast pitch softball kick-started here a little bit.
You know, he was, you know, when I met him, I had no idea the legendary man he was.
Yeah.
You know, he was a five-tool guy, you could say. You know, he coached everything. He played everything. And getting to know him a little bit got me more interested in the game and seeing how he did things and the responses he got from his teams. You know, I was a young man at the time. I was just a year out of high school. And, of course, I was always high interested in the game. And I didn't realize at the time that, you know, I was talking to a legend right there.
Yeah.
I mean, he built a program here that, you know, for the small school world, it's pretty amazing what you get. And, you know, it was constant. You know, it wasn't just like a one-year thing. They were always in the hunt. And, you know, even after the 98 team, they came in, you know, they competed really well. They had another pitcher that came in that was great, you know, and she could deal and, you know, got them to the next level. And it was pretty fun to watch.
Yeah, Donnie, I always thought that Caldwell County softball kind of got out ahead of everybody else in the area. And, you know, you guys were doing things that other schools hadn't quite caught up to yet.
Yeah, right, because when Abby was eighth grader, and when she joined the Tigers, it was slow pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Coach G and we tried to transition into fast pitch, and of course, Christian County was the team to mm-hmm. model
that was
after.
Jim
you
Perrin,
know.
Right?
So Perrin.
Yeah, Jim Perrin.
So I mean, you know, we, you know, at first we couldn't compete with them, you know, but we seen what we had to do to compete and stuff. So we worked at it, and we finally got to that level where we could compete. They always had a great tournament over there in the spring. And it brought a lot of teams from Louisville down here. And, mm-hmm. I mean, you got to play good competition to get better, you know.
Yeah, they would always say that tournament was actually tougher than the state tournament.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
So. Now, do I remember correctly, the 98 team, we won the regional championship here, right, at the City County Park?
I think that's right.
Yeah.
I think that's right. And the year before, we lost it in Madisonville.
Yeah.
And we got beat by Henderson.
Mm-hmm.
And that was sort of and Melissa Bush was on that team.
Yeah.
And but anyway, we got a call that we didn't like too good.
Yeah.
But we suffered from that. But
well, if Caldwell had an all sports Hall of Fame, and we don't have one, but maybe one day, I've got to think when you look at that 1998 softball team, there's at least four or five kids that would be in that thing.
Oh, definitely. We had some athletes.
Yeah.
Beverly Litchfield was one of the best shortstops
in the state.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, all of them. We had speed. You know, we run the bases well. That's what we worked on: running bases and defense. We had one of the best defenses around in the state.
Well, it was a little different game back then, though, because it seemed like the pitching was more prominent. I guess the rubber was a little bit closer to home plate back then. They moved it back. If you had a really good pitcher, you had a chance to be pretty good.
Yeah. We started, of course, Abby, she wanted to pitch. So I said, okay, we'll work at it, you know. And I said, and in the off season, I told her, I said, you know, hey, if you want to pitch in the afternoons, you just call me. I'll be there. And I'm not going to put pressure on you to do it. But she said, okay, I want to do it. So we started doing it 3 days a week down at the middle school gymnasium.
Yeah.
And we would pitch, you know, every week out of season. And the last 2 years, finally Stanley and Jennifer started coming up here with us. We started pitching during the week in the afternoons after school, you know. And I think that really helped us out, you know, in the long run.
Pretty good 1-2 punch right there.
Yeah, it was.
Well, pretty impressive run. And, Seth, you can talk about this a little bit, too. You went at 1998. 2000 and 2002. That's three championships in five seasons.
I know it.
So it, it was always kind of fun to see Caldwell County on that state tournament bracket.
You know, and that's we were just talking before the show. It's funny how it comes in cycles like that. You get a super group of athletes, and then it rotates around. And in that day and time, pretty much the same as in this day and time. You've got your big powerhouses in our regions here, and they're always going to be there. And for a team like Caldwell County, a little old single A team to have the region titles, that's just mind blowing. And that's attributed to the fact that they train their pitchers, like he said, and once the pitching gets there, the defenses are always pretty good. Good things like that happen.
Donnie, what do you remember about the state tournament in 1998?
Oh, it was up in Louisville. I forget what the name of the park was.
It was like Skyview Park.
Skyview Park. Yeah, it was a big crowd there. We got up there on that Friday night. And we played Bowling Green. Bowling Green was ranked way up.
Yeah.
I mean, they was ranked like second in the state. And we drove in there in the park lot, and it was raining and everything, and Bowling Green was there. Of course, they was all yelling at us and stuff and trying to intimidate our players, So, but I think they slept on it that night. We come out the next morning, and we beat them.
So, beat some pretty big schools up there. I think Clark County was one of them. Louisville Assumption. The only two losses were to Owensboro Catholic, and I think those games were 2-0 and 3-2. We were right there.
Right.
Pretty big for Western Kentucky softball. You have the second region and the third region playing in the championship game.
Right.
Well, you had two great coaches there. With George Randolph at Owensboro.
Yeah.
I think he's the all-time leading wins guy in the state.
Is that right?
He was a special one, and of course, Coach G, he's in the tops in the slow pitch, and I want to say top 25 in fast pitch and wins.
Well, you could almost do an entire show talking about Coach G.
Absolutely.
I actually wrote this down. Coach G, Coach Al Giordana, is a member of the Caldwell County Football Hall of Fame, the State Softball Hall of Fame, the Kentucky High School Athletic Association Hall of Fame, the Murray State University Hall of Fame, and the Ohio Valley Conference Hall of Fame. And forgetting all that, he also pitched in the Brooklyn Dodgers, caught in the Brooklyn Dodgers organization, and I believe caught somebody pretty famous down at spring training one year. Was it Drysdale?
I believe. I think that's what I remember him saying.
What can you say about Coach G?
I know.
Legend. That's just legend. Simple.
And I think he coached for, 45 years?
Everything. He coached everything.
Yeah, and I think that's probably a state record for coaching at one school. Just interesting that Coach Giordana showed up here in Caldwell County and stuck around for so long, and football coach. He coached the girls golf team to a state championship. Had softball up there really high. He was a baseball coach at one time, so doesn't come any bigger than that. And certainly, he earned his place in the Softball Hall of Fame and the KHSAA Hall of Fame with those Lady Tiger teams he had. Talking softball this morning, we've got Seth Butts and Tyler Beshear in the studio with us. Donnie Scott is also with us. Again, the 1998 state runner-up squad will be honored on Saturday at the ballpark. And, Tyler, I hope we have good weather. It looks like everything's going to be great for the reception.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be a little warm. We finally have a good warm streak here. And the rain's not going to hold off till Saturday night, so I believe we're in good shape for that.
You guys hosting Ballard Memorial. Seth, what do you know about them?
Well, we scrimmaged them earlier in the year, and they've got great pitching. I think it was a tight game. It was one run scored, something like that maybe. We got one of the top pitchers in the state coming in here. I want to think she's top 10 in strikeouts in the state, eighth grader, and she's coming. She's going to be pretty good. We hit her a little bit. Of course, we're a little more seasoned now, so I look for it to be a pretty good game. They played decent defense. They can put some runs up, but we compete on their pitcher. It's going to be a pretty good showing for everybody.
Tough loss for you guys the other night down in the second region All-A Classic, falling to Livingston Central 11-10 in eight innings in the semifinals, and just an outstanding ball game. Livingston got one more run than we did.
Yeah, I mean, that's a game that, and their coach, Matt, he told me, he said, nobody should have lost this game.
Yeah.
And, that was a game that, with that international tiebreaker, we may still be playing. Mm-hmm. Those are the games that you live for as a coach and certainly as a player. It's next person up, every at-bat, every pitch. And, it was, you know, as a team, I think we finally found ourselves a little bit. You know, we've been playing a pretty rough schedule. We've played number 2, number 4, number 10, 14, you know, and that'll a younger team, it'll put the brakes on them a little bit, but I think we found our grit. You know, we've had grit the past few years from the gate, and this year we've not had as much grit until that game right there. I mean, nobody in the whole state thought that we was even going to come close to touching Livingston. And, you know, we had we hit the ball like we normally hit it. We had Caldwell County, you know, ball. Now, we didn't play defense like we wanted to, but, you know, that's going to happen. You know, we're in a different field. You know, it's completely a different setup than what we are used to. And, you know, some of those plays that are always outs for us, we didn't get those.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's – but the bats, you know, came alive. So, it, pretty fun game.
I really thought Harper Holman had put you guys in front in the top of the eighth inning. Lines it up the middle. It looks like it's going to be an RBI single. Pitcher snags it, throws to third, double play, and that's – it's really a killer when you have that runner at second base to start the inning and you don't score.
Yeah, and, you know, we bunted her over, probably the best bunter on the team, Alicia Stanley, sacrificed herself, moved the runner over, and then Harper comes up, and, you know, she's her fly ball percentage and outfield percentage on hits versus ground balls is pretty high, so we're looking pretty good there because, you know, we can tag. And she didn't catch a good one because if she really caught it, nobody would have seen it in the infield.
Yeah.
But, you know, she missed it a little bit. Their pitcher, you know, she's a great athlete too. She got it, and she's coach's kid. She's been coached her whole life, smart enough to look third, and we were doubled up. And poor Adley, she just, you know, what do?
Right.
You know, those line drives, you don't expect them to, you know, snag them like that, and you're locked up. But unfortunate for us, but, you know, we'll see them again.
Talk about strategy a little bit late in the game there. In the bottom of the eighth inning, they bunt the runner over to third base with one out. You walk one batter. Do you think about just loading the bases in that point to take away maybe a squeeze because at least then you have a force at home plate?
Well, with our team, we're pretty significant in some of the things that we decide. We walk the bases loaded. You know, we have a chance of, you know, getting the play at home, but in that part of the lineup, the kids that hit in the outfield every play. So
yeah,
that's going to shoot us down anyways. So my plan, Tyler and I, you know, kind of thinking, hey, we're putting this one on. We're setting ourselves up for a double play because we turn a lot of double plays on defense, and double play gets us out of that. We don't have to worry about the run at third. And so, you know, it was one of those deals where feast or famine, you know, and that we was at a rough part of their lineup, you know, and these kids in that part of the lineup, yeah, they've been wearing it out. And, I mean, they were hitting outside pitches to left field for line drives. And that's not supposed to happen, you know. So, playing odds, and that's what sometimes happens.
Yeah.
You know, it's roulette.
Well, and, Tyler, the counter to that would be if you load the bases with a couple of intentional walks, you put a lot of pressure on your pitcher with the number 3 hitter coming to the plate to Livingston Central.
Yeah, I mean, because she's a pretty good hitter, and we'd have to nibble the edges anyways just to keep her.
And the edges disappeared at that point in the game.
And yeah, the strike zone tightened up considerably the last two innings. We had a couple balls, probably the sixth inning, that the catcher didn't move her mitt, that were strikes all day long, just all of a sudden became balls. And you know, it's tough. You know, umpires are human too. They got a little tight. Yeah. It's a tight game.
Everybody back tightens and forth up a little bit.
I mean, it was, you know, it's probably the most exciting game we've played in a while.
Oh, since last year when we played.
Yeah, because it's back and forth. But yeah, you're putting a lot of pressure on the pitcher. You load the bases, and the, you know, you can't just throw it right down the middle, 3-hitter.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those way, you know, it's going to get you one way or the other. So we almost did it. The last bunt, I mean, it was a close play. She made the tag just a second late. I think she may have injured her hand in that. So we're still waiting to get results on that. So it's going to be, you know, it's going to be 50-50 one way or the other on that.
I really felt going in, and I think a lot of people did, Seth, that the Caldwell-Livingston matchup was probably going to determine the championship. I mean, I guess we'll find out later today for sure. But to me, a key moment, and maybe one we all forgot about a little bit, you have that coin toss before the game for who's going to be home. Livingston wins the coin toss, and that ends up being pretty big later.
Oh, it was large. And I joke with the coaches. I said that was a loaded coin, you know. But going back, you know, the game, it's just like baseball and anything else. I mean, the game gives and the game takes. We had three matchups with them last year that were all pretty exciting, and we beat them three times. And it was only fitting that we went extras and they got us this time, you know. So coin flip, you know, it's 50-50 every time in this game. You know, every play is 50-50. So, I mean, the coin flip really does dictate everything.
Well, you have to determine who the visiting team is and who the home team is somehow.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So, would you guys be in favor of them maybe seeding the tournament in the future?
I'd like the seeding part of it. I think it would be a good avenue to explore.
Because you've got the RPI now if you want to try
exactly.
to use that.
You know, they're using RPI, and, you know, we've got one of the better RPIs around, you know, considering what we've played. And they've played some tough schools too, but as far as the All-A tournament would be concerned, I think our RPI would be the best, you know, because the rest of these A schools, they haven't played quite the schedule we have. And, you know, just a little bit of advantage. You know, it helps us, you know, as far as the pitching rotation goes and things like that. You know, we can get some rest to some kids, and, you know, I'm for it.
I mean, some people will say that you have to beat everybody else to win the tournament anyway.
That's true.
But just like baseball, you know, we saw Caldwell County and Lyon County play in the first round, and everybody knew those were two of the top three teams in the whole tournament.
Exactly. You know, I think the past two All-A's, we've kind of had pretty rough goes from the start.
Yeah.
You know, on draw. And, you know, old school is old school, but I kind of like the seeding idea. Yeah. You know, I think that can, you know, separate some of the things, and it gets some of maybe these – one-sided games, you know, leveled out, and then you can prepare for a really good championship game or semifinal game. Yeah.
Well, maybe at that point you can just have the higher seed be the home team and not have to worry about a coin toss.
Yeah, generally I think that's how that would work. And I mean, it works like that in regular tournament ball, so why wouldn't it work like that in state tournament ball?
Well, how do you guys get the team refocused now after that loss to Livingston? Because, you know, you've got, what, 5 weeks now till the district tournament?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be a problem. They're pretty focused. We had a really good practice yesterday, and we were doing some really high-level thinking things, and they're hungry now. I don't think they were as hungry, Tyler, as you know, before as they are now. But, you know, it's kind of like we know we're able to do things, and they're seeing that, and I think they're ready to play. They're smelling blood and water, and they're ready to attack.
Yeah. Well, once again, tell us what you guys have coming up on Saturday.
We got Ballard County in the 25th anniversary of the state runner-up team, and 1 o'clock game. It'll be a varsity and JV game. It's going to be a pretty good matchup. You know, like I said, good pitching, and we've got pretty good hitting and great defense. They've got good, you know, hitting and defense too. So it could be an eight-inning game.
Yeah, they also won the first region All-A last night.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we'll kind of know what we'll be seeing at the Carlisle? State.
Was it Carlisle they beat?
No, they beat Mayfield last night.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have a lot of players expected to come in for the anniversary?
Yeah,
I think
there's out of the 22 on the team, I know I've heard back from at least 10 to 12.
Yeah.
A couple of them have had events come up that they couldn't be here, that they found out just this week. So, but I still hope we get, you know, more than half of them. I've seen some chatter on Facebook from a few of them, and I think they're pretty excited about coming down. I hope I've invited Miss G to come and her, you know, Coach G's family. Hope they can be able to be there. I'm hoping all the, you know, parents and cousins and everybody of all these players can be there and have a big crowd to not only support them but support our current team and this game Saturday.
Again, difficult to believe it's been 25 years. I remember going up there and covering those games at the state tournament, and we talk about Coach G always, and it's been almost 14 years since we lost Coach G.
Yeah.
And that's just unfathomable to
crazy.
Me that he's been gone that long, because, I mean, he was Donnie, you knew where Coach G was all the time. I mean, he was just, like, bigger than life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the girls loved him, you know. We had some great times, and we played in a lot of tournaments, you know, going through there. Of course, that's what made our team, but Coach G was great to work with and everything.
How much fun was that 98 team and that whole run to state, and then just kind of a whirlwind 2 days to get to the championship game?
Oh, it was great. I mean, it went by so quick,
yeah.
You know. In fact, it went over into Monday, I think that's right.
Yeah.
Did it rain out?
Yeah, maybe it did, yeah.
I think it did go over into Monday because I had to call into work.
Well, we were at the state tournament so many times back then, though, they kind of run together sometimes. Yeah. Good problem to have.
But now we had a great time.
Yeah.
All of, and I tell you what, the support. I'd like to thank the community for all the support we had back then.
Yeah.
I mean, donations, you know, for the girls and everything to go up there and everything. And we always had good crowds and everything. And I really appreciate that.
I appreciate you guys coming in this morning and talking about it. And good luck Saturday with the anniversary celebration and against Ballard Memorial.
Thanks.
Hey, thanks, Todd.
Thank you.
That's Lady Tiger coaches Seth Butts and Tyler Bashir, former Lady Tiger coach Donnie Scott in the studio with us this morning. We need to get to a break, but we'll come back and have more after this here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Now's the time to plan your future. Contact Woodman Life Craig Smiley, 1009 West Main Street, Princeton, 270-365-6111.
Your WeatherEdge Weather Center forecast. We have mostly clear skies and a low around 47 for the overnight low. By this afternoon, mostly sunny skies, high of 80. Then on Thursday night, mostly cloudy skies, low around 55. And then Friday, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 1 o'clock. Partly sunny skies, high of 75. Friday night, partly cloudy skies, low around 56. But back to this evening, mostly clear skies, low of 47, and by this afternoon, mostly sunny and 80.
We believe you want to make wise financial decisions and live generously. At First Southern National Bank, we are making that even easier. Banking should be convenient for you and your schedule. With our new ITMs, a video teller is available to assist you with almost everything you could do inside a bank or at an ATM. You don't have to get out of your car, and the ITMs will offer extended hours, making it easier to deposit checks, withdraw cash, and more. Learn more about ITMs at fsnb.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
If you're involved in an auto accident, it's your choice where your vehicle is repaired. Some insurance companies refer you to pro shops because they give the insurance company discounts. But with those discounts, the insurance company has input on the parts used and might not always use what is best. At Trice-Hughes Body Shop, they're not partnered with an insurance company, but they give the same lifetime limited warranty to the person who owns the vehicle at the time of repairs. Visit Trice-Hughes in Princeton for your vehicle repairs.
At YourSportsEdge.com, we strive every day to continue to bring you the gold standard in high school sports coverage with more on your teams and your players.
Where did it show up there?
And while they are not gold, those crystal awards we have won for doing what we love to do are pretty cool, too.
That's something you see every day.
The Kentucky Broadcaster's Best Digital Product Award winner. YourSportsEdge.com.
If you really enjoy the stories you hear on Traveling the Bluegrass, we'd like to invite you to listen to the whole visit uncut. Just type youragedge.com into your browser. You'll find Traveling the Bluegrass uncut stories in long form, so you don't miss a thing. You'll also find lots of ag news and farm pictures from across the Commonwealth. You can also find all the Kentucky communities that Traveling the Bluegrass can be found. Remember to visit youragedge.com.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580, 103.3 WPKY. Again, thanks for tuning in this morning. Appreciate softball coaches Seth Butts and Tyler Bashir and former coach Donnie Scott all for coming in and being in the studio with us. Again, the 1998 state runner-up squad will be honored on Saturday. Ball game starts at 1. There'll be a ceremony beforehand, and just going to be a fun day at the old ballpark on Saturday as we remember the 1998 state runner-up squad. Switching gears now to baseball, the Caldwell County Tiger baseball team will play for the second region All-A Classic Championship today against Crittenden County. That'll be down at Smithland, and we'll have the game here on WPKY. Joining us now is Tiger baseball head coach Josh Young. And Josh, you guys are on a roll.
Yeah, we are. First of all, thanks for having me, Todd.
Yeah.
Man, we're playing pretty well, and our kids are kind of joking around. We've been on a long stretch of away games, and so they don't really want to get out of the blue top and gray pant uniform combination. But man, we're playing well on the road. We're playing starting to come together as a team, and I think we're starting to find the niche that we need just to be competitive within the region.
Well, one of the last home games I remember was against Carlisle County, and you guys kind of struggled that night, and I don't think everybody was really happy with how they played, but you've really responded since then.
Yeah, the Carlisle game was a tough loss. I mean, obviously they're a well-coached team and a very good team, but I think our kids were a little disappointed. They knew what they were capable of, and they didn't play to the standards that they knew they should have played to. And so I think we kind of took that loss as a learning game. And since then, I think we've rattled off five or six straight, and we've found our groove, and we're hopefully we can continue that through tonight and the rest of the season.
Do you think it took a couple of weeks just for the team to kind of get comfortable? I mean, with people, I think some people are still trying to discover their role on the team.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I mean, even within the first few weeks, we tell our guys, and I mean, you can look around, even in around the region, a lot of these teams are losing. I think Henderson County lost a few games. Christian County's lost a few games. I mean, the first 2 weeks really is just a toss-up. I mean, anybody can beat anybody at that point. And so we kind of tell our guys early on in the season, hey, don't press. Everything's going to be fine. We're figuring out who we are as a team. We're going to be fine moving some pieces around. I think kind of that Carlisle game, we kind of go back to it. And even the Marshall County game, where it was a competitive game and a tight game down to the seventh inning, we kind of figured out who we wanted where and what kind of pieces, who can play this position, who can pitch, when this guy comes in, what do we need to move around, structuring the lineup. And I think we've really kind of almost solidified what we want day in and day out of what our lineup needs to look like, and those guys really playing together and learning to play for each other.
It's always interesting to me going into any tournament for baseball teams is how you set your pitching up. Of course, you guys open with Lyon County, so you pretty much had to put Ben Goodacre on the
mound. Yeah, that's the thing about this All-A is, I mean, it's all about the draw. And so, obviously, we drew Lyon County in the first round, which was, I mean, Lyon County's a great team. And we knew that going in. We knew that we were going to throw Ben. We knew they were going to throw the Baker kid. Yeah. And man, it was a heck of a fun baseball game. Those two kids competed their rear ends off, and they pitched two heck of a games. And so going forward, we knew if we could get through Lyon County, we can kind of set ourselves up for possibly a decent run into the championship game. And so throwing Ben and getting through that game was huge. And then we got to throw Ari last night. Or Tuesday night, excuse me, and get him some innings and hopefully boosted his confidence a little bit with him and Jameis combining for a no-hitter. And so really what was big for us on Tuesday night is we kept Ari underneath that 50-pitch limit. Yeah. So now he's cleared to pitch tonight if we need him. And so we've got everybody on staff or everybody on deck, obviously except for Ben.
Yeah.
But man, huge credit to Ben for pitching here his rear end off on Monday night against Lyon County. So,
well, Ben has a couple of big wins over Lyon County the last few years. He's kind of had their number, and I'm not sure how many people in Western Kentucky can say that about playing Lyon County.
I agree. I mean, these last few years, Lyon County has been the team to beat, and again, credit to Ben. Ben's come out and Ben's one of those kids. He's just going to go out and he's going to go compete. As soon as he steps on the rubber, it's his main focus is to get the batter out in front of him, and he keeps that focus throughout the whole seven innings. And you know, we kind of joke with each other, Coach Downs and I, and guys that I talk to. It's like Ben's one of the only kids I've ever seen who can start a game, and by the seventh inning, he's gained velocity and he's gotten better as the game goes on, and again, I think that's just part to his preparation and his and obviously his ability to pitch.
Well, when the other team talks about how well you pitched and the umpire talks about how well you pitched, you had a pretty good game.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Mr. Jagu, the home plate umpire on Monday night, came up to me and complimented Ben as well. Just talking about his fastball, his location, his arm slot, and obviously he's got a different arm slot, a unique that is he hides the ball very well upon delivery, and I think it's hard for teams to pick up. But really was complimentary about his slider and his off speed stuff, his just the way it runs. I mean, his off speed on a righty, it may start at your hip, but it may end up on the outside corner of the plate, and so that's a really tough pitch for teams to hit. And so again, just credit to Ben. The player that he is.
Yeah. Doing the game on the radio Monday night, it looked to me like Ben was getting a couple of inches off the outside corner and Eli was getting a couple of pitches, a couple of inches on the inside corner. So I think the home plate umpire recognized that both guys were pitching. They were pitching well around the plate, and he gave them a little extra. And I don't really have a problem with that. If it's consistent, I mean, that's fine.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is as long as you're consistent behind the plate, I have no problem with it. And Mr. Dragoo, he always does a great job behind the plate. And so, and that's the thing with these umpires is I tell our kids and our pitchers, if you're consistent around the zone, as the game goes on, they'll start to expand. They'll give you a ball off of the corner or off the outside corner, a ball inside. And so if we can stay aggressive early over the plate and try to get ahead in the counts, not only is that going to put the hitter in a tough position, but that umpire is going to be getting in the groove, and he's going to expand his zone a little bit just so that we can be a little bit more pitcher-friendly on the mound.
Yeah, if you're a pitcher, you never want to be out there when the strike zone shrinks. And if you have to throw it over the heart of the plate, it's usually going to get hit.
Absolutely. I mean, especially against a good team like that can hit like Lyon County, and if you leave one over the middle, especially at the top of their order guys and first half of their lineup, I mean, if it's over the plate and it's about belt to chest high, good luck finding it when it hits the field.
When the season started, I thought you guys had about 9 or 10 players who could play, and you'd be pretty good there. I didn't know if you had a lot of depth, but it looks like over the first 3 weeks or 4 weeks or whatever, you guys have actually developed some depth now, where especially pitching, like Cole Sloan has pitched really well for you guys, has been a little unlucky as far as wins and losses go, but he's thrown the ball well.
Absolutely. Cole's done everything that we've asked him to do. Coming into the year, we kind of knew that Cole may have to be one of those guys that can step up on the mound, and he's done that week in and week out and for the games that he's pitched. I look back to, again, the Marshall County game. Cole threw against Marshall County, again, who's a really good first region team that can hit the ball. He pitched really well. He kept us in the game through the first 6 innings. And then the 7th inning, I think we had to pull him just for pitch limit reasons, trying to save his arm. And once we pulled him, and again, another guy, Scott Cordner, kind of he took the loss. But, I mean, Scott only pitched, I think, maybe an inning, but did everything that we asked him to do. He threw strikes. We just made a few errors in the field. And so, yeah, Cole's been great. Scott's been a guy that we can count on. And I think another name that you can't leave out is Cody Pruitt.
Yeah.
Man, Cody Pruitt has come in, especially in relief innings, mid-game scenario, working out of jams. And I mean, he's just a guy that he's going to throw strikes. He's got a decent off-speed. But he's a guy that, again, he's just going to go compete. And I think that's just what we tell our guys is we want competitors on the mound. We want competitors at the plate. When you step on the mound, you're competing. And you're competing. It's you against the hitter. And so – And I think Cody does a great job of that coming in. Whenever his number is called, staying ready, and he just goes out there and competes and gets the job done.
Well, it seems like you guys have just played awfully well all around. I go back to Monday night. You guys made catches. Hunter Newsom had a catch behind home plate where he kind of ate the gravel after it. Luke Parker made a running catch over near the fence in the outfield, and Jameis Carnahan had a circus catch over there in foul territory in front of your guys' dugout. So, I mean, when you get those kind of plays, it's tough to lose.
Oh, yeah. And that's, I think, going back to what we talked about earlier, our guys are starting to figure out who we are as a team. And I mean, our guys know we don't have 8 Division I baseball players. I mean, we've got 9, 10, 11 guys that are hard-nosed, blue-collar, and we're going to get dirty and get after you. And so I think Monday night was a true testament of what that team is, or this team is, and what we're going to be throughout the rest of the season. I mean, you look at Luke Parker's catch in left field. He misses one in foul territory, a tough grab that could have been a second out. He gets the next one coming back to him and makes a tremendous catch into the fence to make that next out and to get us into the next inning and get us on the plate. But yeah, I think that's just who this team is. And we tell our guys, let's just keep our head down. As long as you keep your head down, go play hard, have fun playing the game, and play the game the right way, things will take care of themselves. And I think we're figuring that out.
We're talking with Tiger baseball head coach Josh Young this morning. Need to get to a timeout here on the Sideline Report, but we'll come back and talk about today's game against Crittenden County right after this here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Farless Realty is your local real estate office, offering experienced agents ready to help you find your perfect home. Their experienced agents understand the local market and can help you make the right decision. Contact Farless Realty, Princeton.
Your Weather Edge Weather Center forecast, overnight low of 47 with mostly clear skies by this afternoon. It's going to be mostly sunny with a high of 80. By Thursday night, mostly cloudy skies, low of 55. Friday, a 40% chance of rain and thunderstorms after lunchtime. Partly sunny skies with a high of 75. And then by Friday night, we close the work week with partly cloudy skies and low of 56 degrees. But back to this evening and afternoon, a mostly clear sky, low of 47 and mostly sunny, high of 80.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Kentucky. Brought to you by the Kentucky High School Athletic Association and the Kentucky Athletic Administrators Association.
West Kentucky Real Estate and Auction will have another live auction this Saturday. Selling will be a like-new Bad Boy zero-turn mower, a like-new Kawasaki Mule two-seater, farm equipment, lots of new yard and garden items, a great selection of furniture, primitive items, and more. The auction center is located at 2216 Highway 62 West in Princeton. That's this Saturday, April 15th, starting at 9 a.m. Wayne Boyd, auctioneer. West Kentucky Real Estate and Auction.
Hello, this is Brad Harrelson with First Southern National Bank. There is little doubt that many are facing financial hardships in our country today. The statistics can be startling to look at, with as many as 70% of Americans having less than $1,000 saved for emergencies. While it can be easy to point fingers, the truth of the matter is that many folks lack the basic financial knowledge to avoid these pitfalls. To meet this need, First Southern has provided financial literacy resources so that the people of our communities can be better equipped to face the financial challenges life throws their way. We invite you to explore the Financial Literacy Resource Center at FSMB.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY. We're talking with Caldwell baseball head coach Josh Young. The Tigers go down to Smithland today to take on Crittenden County for the second region All-A championship. And Josh, you guys have seen Crittenden County, so kind of familiar with the Rockets.
Yeah, we are. We saw them, again, one of those first 2 weeks of the season down at their place. They're a good team. I think we won that game in pretty handily in seven innings. But, I mean, watching them, after watching them Tuesday night against UHA just for a little bit and keeping up with that game, man, that's a completely different Crittenden County team than we saw early in the season. They're competitive. They're playing the right way. Coach Belt's done a great job of getting those kids ready to play. And so we told our kids yesterday at practice, this is not the same Crittenden County team that we played the first week or two of the season. So our guys know what to expect. They know that this is going to be a seven-inning game and this is going to be a dogfight, and I think we're ready for it.
Interesting, going into the All-A Classic, if you looked at the second region RPI, the top three teams were all All-A Classic teams.
Yeah.
University Heights was number one, Lyon County was number two, Caldwell County was number three. Well, going into the championship game, you guys are now the number one RPI team in the second region.
It's one of those things. I think if you would have looked at it at the beginning of the season and been like, man, there's no way, just with the teams in the region like Christian County and Henderson County and Hopkinsville and Madisonville and those teams. But, man, it's played out in our favor. And I think, again, it's just a credit to our kids. Our kids play hard, and they're just very, super competitive, and they want to win. So,
yeah, I think going into the week, a lot of people would have said the Caldwell Lyon winner in that first-round game really stood a chance to win the thing, although UHA looked pretty good too. I talked about with a little bit with the softball guys. Would you like to see the All-A Classic seeded, or is that something you've thought about?
You know, I haven't given it too much thought. I'm pretty sure the first region in the All-A, I think their baseball, they seed theirs, just looking at their bracket. And so, I mean, it could be neat just to seed it, just because if you look at the draw, I mean, especially for this year, for instance, I mean, if you would have had Caldwell, Lyon, and UHA on the same side of the bracket, it's like,
yeah,
man, now you've got the three teams, I guess, which is the three team race. They're all on the same side of the bracket, you know. So somebody's got to go through two of those teams to get to a championship game, and so I see both sides. I don't know that I've really formed an opinion yet. I haven't given it too much thought, but I can see both sides, and so but the draw does give I guess some of the smaller teams of the Class A a chance to make a run. And so,
again, it comes back to trying to set up your pitching. And I think UHA got caught trying to save somebody for the championship, and Crittenden got them.
Yeah. You know, the tournament play and postseason stuff is always a little tricky with pitching. And so one thing that, especially playing for Coach Talons back when I played and when he was coaching, was I know one thing he always reiterated was, in order to get to the next game, you got to win the first one. And so Coach Talons was never going to throw off, especially with a team that he thought was equivalent or about the same skill level or talent level as us. And so I think UHA, maybe you could look back and say they were maybe trying to save their ace for us, possibly on tonight. And so, but I think, again, you got to credit Crittenden County for coming out ready to play. And so I don't know. Obviously, I'm not going to put – say Union County or UHA overlooked, but I think again that you probably could make that assumption. But again, Crittenden County came ready to play, and they did everything they needed to do to get a win and advance to the championship game.
Yeah, you can never really compare scores in baseball because you have to look at who was pitching that day.
Right, right. You know, it's kind of funny. I never understood it when I was playing, but coaches around the region, every time they would look at score, their first question immediately would be, well, who threw?
Right.
And so I never understood it until now I'm on the other side of it. Every time I look at a score, my first instinct is to click on the stats and click on the report and see who was pitching. And just because it makes a huge difference, especially on the score. I mean, if you teams around the region, if they're throwing their ace, I mean, they've got a good shot of winning. But if it's they throw their three or four, and I mean that score could be skewed and could lead to a misconception here or there.
Tigers and Rockets today in the second region All A Classic Championship game. Again, 5:30 in Smithland today for that. And we'll have the broadcast here on WPKY this afternoon. If you win the region, you get to play a sectional game, and Paducah St. Mary won the first region, so I'm not sure if that's good or bad, trying to look ahead here a little bit, but we've seen Carlisle County, so you were familiar with them, but we haven't really seen St. Mary yet.
No, I haven't seen St. Mary. I've kind of looked their schedule. Of course, they were on our schedule for later in the year in May, and so I kind of kept up with that game a little bit last night. St. Mary looks like they got a pretty good team. They put the ball in play a little bit, especially knowing what Carlisle's got, and so I think they won that game 8-1.
Yeah.
So, of course, again who threw,
yeah.
Right, and so but St. Mary, I think, is a really good baseball team.
Yeah.
I know they're in a pretty competitive district with McCracken County and Paducah Tillman. So, obviously, I'm sure they'll be a competitive team if we can hopefully get to that sectional game.
Well, and again, not to get ahead of ourselves because we've still got the championship game today and need to get a win over Crittenden County to get there. But when you get a game scheduled, if it comes to that, that's another chance where you have to almost try to set up your pitching.
Yeah, you do.
Looking at that game.
Yeah,
and you've got district games coming up that you're going to have to try to, you know, figure out a plan and all those things.
Yeah, it's a tricky time now. I mean, hopefully if all things work out, we advance to this sectional game. And, I mean, next week we start into district play. We're opening up with Madisonville on Tuesday and then Madisonville again on Thursday. And so trying to find a game where we can, if hopefully – advanced into that sectional game, trying to find a game to schedule that would be tricky, trying to set up pitching. So but hopefully we'll focus up on tonight and get the job done, so then we can worry about it tomorrow.
Well, good luck to you guys today, and I appreciate you coming in and being on the show this morning.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Tiger baseball head coach Josh Young. Again, the Tigers will take on Crittenden County at 5:30 today down in Smithland for the second region All A Classic Championship. And you can listen to the game right here on WPKY today immediately following our 5 o'clock newscast. That's going to wrap us up for this edition of the Sideline Report here on WPKY. Again, thanks to Kaawa County softball coaches Seth Butts and Tyler Bashir for coming in, and former Lady Tigers softball coach Donnie Scott, and again, Tiger baseball coach Josh Young on the show with us this morning. This is Todd Griffin of WPKY Radio and YourSportsEdge.com. Again, thanks a lot for joining us here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
WPKY Princeton.